Every year, 3,500 people in Madison experience homelessness. Those are the numbers in the heart of Wisconsin's economically prosperous Dane County.
Last month, in an effort to better understand that experience, three community leaders went undercover as homeless people for a week.
They panhandled and slept in shelters. And after documenting their week and sharing it in local papers and social media, they got an outpouring of interest from the community.
Got a couple of them with us here today in the studio. Michael Johnson is CEO of Dane County's Boys and Girls Club, and Tim Metcalf is president of Metcalf's Market, and they're here with us now to talk about their experiences. Tim and Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica.
And you did this for what, 3 days, right?
Yeah, two nights and 3 days.
Tell us, Michael, let's start with you. How did you first come up with this idea? To live among the homeless is one of them.
I just got to say first, you got a great radio voice.
Says the guy with a great radio voice.
let me just say it started by, we started seeing so many kids coming into our Boys and Girls Club that was either living in their vehicles, and we were picking up kids from homeless shelters all across the city. And I wanted to see homelessness from the lens of a homeless person and not necessarily from the lens of the boys, as the Boys and Girls Club CEO. So I called my friend Tim Metcalf. I called my friend Will Green from the Salvation Army and said, hey, would you all be willing to go out with me firsthand, sleep in shelters, sleep on the streets, to see what young people go through in their families in the city. And that's how it all got started.
And Tim, went through your head when Michael came to you with his idea of living out there as a homeless person. What did you think?
Well, Michael comes to me quite often with different ideas of things that he wants to explore in the community, and I have a problem spelling the word no, so I usually just say yes. But my first initial thought was, you know, absolutely, I'd love to join you. And what I wanted to learn was where the children are, where the families are. I know in Madison that about 1,100 children are homeless every night in Madison. And
say that number again. How many?
1,100 tonight.
1,100.
Yeah, we'll be homeless tonight in Madison. And so my what I wanted to find out is, you know, where the families are, where the children are, and what makes a family go homeless, and, you know, what are some of the struggles that they have when they're homeless in Madison.
And Michael, that was true of you too, right? You really wanted to see what was happening to the children.
Yeah, I mean, that's the business that we're in. We're about providing opportunities and making sure that our young people have great futures, and we want to make sure that our kids succeed. And our kids can't succeed if they're sleeping in vans, if they're sleeping on the streets. And so in order for our kids to graduate from high school, to graduate from college, we have to address the family. And so we wanted to elevate the conversation. We wanted to figure out a way to motivate people to get involved. And I'm hoping one day we can live in a community where no kid in this community will be living homeless in a city like Madison.
And so you said a city like Madison, part of Dane County, and we usually think of Dane County as doing pretty all right for itself when it comes to, you know, the economy. How widespread is homelessness in Dane County, Tim?
Well, I think the numbers that are published by Dane County is roughly about, I think it's 3,500 individuals will experience homeless every year. And of that, there's 1,200 children, roughly 1,100 children that are experiencing it. And of that, 600 of those children will actually go into a shelter. Many of the children that are designated as being homeless don't go to the shelters. They're living in cars with their parents or their mother or their father. So roughly about 3,500 people a year experience homelessness in Madison.
I'm guessing that every story is unique, but Michael, what do we know about how people become homeless? How does it happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a variety of different things. And I think there's a lot of people that's one paycheck away or two paychecks away from becoming homeless. And I think what really surprised us, we stayed at a local shelter, Porch Light, and we found that there were actually people getting up and going to work. And that surprised me and Tim a little bit. And there was and there's a couple of issues that we're facing in our city. There's a shortage of low-income housing. If you have a felony or if you have bad credit, you're going to have a hard time getting an apartment here. And so that's part of the issue that we need to address. And if you don't have a job, and don't have family and friends here, you're probably going to end up on the streets with a lot of people. And so I think we have to figure out a some short-term and long-term solutions to address this issue.
Well, so you decided, you got your buddy Tim, you have your other friend, Mr. Green, you decided this is something you were going to do. You guys were going to live on the street as homeless people. How do you prepare for something like that, Michael?
It was a very humbling experience, but our goal was to befriend a family and see if we could provide some support and connect services around a family right away. And we were able to do that. So we found a young mother, a four kids sleeping in a Walmart parking lot. We partnered with the row home. We got her an apartment, got her house furnished, pulled her kids off the streets, and she had a party last week and she moved in. So we were able to do that. The second thing that for us, it was, you know, Tim is one of our supporters at Boys and Girls Club. And for me personally, I wanted to know what was all the resources that was out there. So when a kid come to our doors and we see the issues that they go through, who can I call? And what's the network of people that we can reach out to as a nonprofit leader in this community? So we met so many organizations that do work on the ground level with homeless folks all the time. But what we have found that this issue is so polarizing, that there's so many groups that's divided. And as a community, we're not working hand in hand to make sure that those who need us the most get the support that they deserve.
So you said it's polarizing. I don't know. Maybe this is a naive question. Why is it polarizing? People don't want homeless people out there. We want to help them, right? So, Tim, maybe you can speak to that. Why is homelessness a polarizing issue?
You know, I don't know if I have that exact answer. First of all, you know, Michael and I are new to this. You know, this was something that Michael had a real concern over, and how it affected the kids at Boys and Girls Club. So we went out to learn more about this. There's a lot of people on the ground, like Michael says, that have been working very hard for many years. And it's, they're looking for solutions. They're looking for, it to end. They work very hard, and it continues. And you try to help somebody, and they don't accept that help. So I think people get tired, and then they're screaming for help. And they all have individual, I want to call them silos. You know, this group is working on affordable housing. This group is working on the immediate needs of, you know, just people surviving the next couple of nights. This group is doing day shelters. So they all have their individual things that they're working on. But sometimes they don't work collectively. And one of the things I think Michael and I have been able to do, and we saw this in an outreach that we were part of last week, is we brought a lot of people together, the community, the agencies, and we were able to service roughly about 500 people last Thursday night.
And I'll add to that, it was powerful. Tim led the effort on that particular one. Lands End, local business in town, stepped up, made $30,000 worth of, gave us $30,000 worth of coats and boots and supplies. And I think people will be shocked. There's 41 different camps where adults and children are sleeping in the woods, in tents, because they don't have a place to stay. And I don't think a lot of people in this community realize that. So last Thursday was just absolutely amazing to see all these nonprofit groups, to see all of the homeless advocates, to business leaders step up to help this vulnerable population. And that's what we should be doing as a community, making sure whether it's supporting kids, whether it's supporting the most vulnerable people in our community, how do we use our lives to touch another life?
Now, you guys did this to raise awareness around homelessness, to rally people to the cause and get coordination among the various arms who are working on this, but you also experienced it. I wonder if you could just share some of your stories, your impressions from those 3 days, what it was like.
Well, I'll start with that.
Time.
Yeah. Well, I guess the first thing I would say is, in a way it was a part. Michael and I are not homeless, so it's really hard to fully understand what the feelings or the thoughts that are going through a person that has lost their house, lost their job, lost their family, and you're on the streets. But I do have to say, I did feel that. I was on a corner. I was holding a sign asking for money for my next meal. And people would drive by me and they would look, and I could see in their eyes. And there were different emotions that I would feel. I would feel shame. I would feel hopelessness. I would feel despair. I would think to myself, is this what my life has really become? Is that I have to beg for my next meal? And you feel that, and it's a very low feeling. And then somebody drives up to you and rolls their window down and says, and you say, can you spare a dollar or some change? And they say, no, I can't give you money, but are you hungry? And the answer was, yeah, I am hungry. Well, can I buy you a meal? Oh. And then this particular person drives me to a restaurant, buys me a meal, and we went to a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Doesn't buy me a single meal deal. He buys me a bucket of chicken, and I asked him. I said, I can't repay you right now. I'm not able to do that. But can I get your name and number? How can I repay you? And his answer was, when I was down on my luck, somebody reached out and helped me. So, this is just a temporary time for you. You're going to get on your feet. I know you will. And just when you do, pay it forward. And that happened to Michael and I maybe two or three times during the night, where people reached out and touched us and helped us by either giving us money for our next meal or buying us a meal. And we would ask them, how can we thank you? How can we repay you? And to a T, they all said, when I needed help, I'm a single mom, was one of them, and someone helped me. And when you get on your feet, just pay it forward. And I think that was a really powerful message that we got that night.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And maybe one quick story from you, Michael, before we catch some news.
Yeah, I would say for me, it was, being African-American and Tim being a Caucasian man, I thought people would treat me different. And I think what was amazing, when I was out there panhandling, we were right in front of Westtown Mall. There was an elderly couple, I would say probably around 65 to 70 years old, pulled up and said, son, do you have a place to stay tonight? I didn't know how to respond. So I said, yeah, I'm going to be staying at a shelter. That's where my family is at. So the guy looks at his wife. He said, me and my wife will take care of you. He said, digest what I just said and I'll come back and we'll talk. And I just started tearing up. Mm. I couldn't control my emotion. So as I'm crying right on the street, one of my Boys and Girls Club kids pull up, and I was afraid that he was going to recognize me. So I had my head down, and then he was in his girlfriend's car. So he raids her glove department or the armrest and takes all her change and gives it to me. And it was just a very humbling experience. And then real quick from there, me and Tim went to two separate restaurants. I went to Perkins. Guy sat me down, told him I didn't have any food to eat. Guy not only fed me, but gave me a ton of food to go, and then gave me a card and was like, if you ever need us, you come back and give me a phone call.
Wow, so much that you experienced, and I'm sure it changed you. We'll hear about that when we come back. We're speaking with Michael Johnson, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, and Tim Metcalf, president of Metcalf's Market, talking about the 3 nights that they spent, or 3 days, undercover as homeless people to experience that and to draw attention to the cause of homelessness during this time of the year when a lot of people need warmth and they need help.
And we'd like to hear from you about homelessness in your community. Have you experienced homelessness, or are you experiencing it now? We'd like to hear your story. Or do you work with homeless people? Tell us about the services you provide and what life is like for the people you serve. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email talk@wpr.org.
We're back with Michael Johnson, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, and Tim Metcalf, president of Metcalf's Market. They went undercover as people experiencing homelessness last month to raise awareness of that issue.
And you can join in with your thoughts and questions about homelessness at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
Let's get right to the phones. We've got some folks waiting to talk to you already. Let's go to Catherine first in Milwaukee. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, great. I just want to thank your guests for coming on today and for you talking about this topic. I am one of the coordinators for the Homeless Education Program in the Milwaukee Public Schools, and the whole purpose of our services is to provide families that are currently without, who have lost their permanent housing and are living in shelters or on the streets or doubled up with other families. And I just, one thing that spoke out to me listening to your guest today is, it's one thing to be able to serve the members of this population, but then for them to go out and experience themselves, I think is really a wonderful thing to do, and I hope that more of us in that profession have the ability to do that someday, because I'm sure you got a whole different perspective and understanding from that experience, and I'm sure it's going to help you serve that population better. So I can take my comments off the air, but I also just kind of wanted to plug the MPS Homeless Program as well for those who might be listening in the state of Wisconsin and not necessarily know that we have those services for students in the schools and their families.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Catherine. And Michael, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, Catherine, I just want to say thank you for all of the work that you do in Milwaukee. I know that you all have some challenges in your neck of the woods. And I think when it all comes down to it, we have to figure out, from our local municipalities to our philanthropic community to nonprofits, how do we leverage our collective resources to get the folks that need our services? How do we maximize our collective efforts? And so one of the reasons I invited Tim as a well-respected businessman in this community, Tim has some contacts that I may not necessarily have. I have some contacts that Tim may not necessarily have. And I think it's powerful to see two people who may come from two different spectrums of the universe to come together around a common issue. And if we can learn to do that across America and bring different groups and different communities together, those who need us the most can get the services that they need. So continue to do what you're doing. And keep the faith, and one day we're gonna have to solve this issue.
Well, I know people are listening right now, and they're thinking, how can I help? We know what you guys did with your organizations, and it's something you care about day to day. Tim, how can people help?
Well, first, let me say that one of the things that I really experience, and I have to honestly say, it's changed me. And that is sitting there on a corner watching people go by. I think the very first thing that I felt was fear. If I give you a dollar, what are you going to do with it? So I think people in general have a fear of this community in terms of, how do I participate? How do I give? How do I get involved? And I think what my message to them is that you can get involved. We just did this recent drive to get jackets and that type of stuff for the homeless community. And what I really learned is that people really care. They want to be involved. They just don't know how to give. And there's some easy ways. There's the Salvation Army kettle campaign that's going on. That is, they're in the trenches working with the homeless community. There's Porch Light here in Madison and many other different agencies throughout the state.
Row Home.
And you can give directly to them. They're in the trenches, and they're working with the homeless. And the other one is United Way. As a business owner, many businesses participate with the United Way. And as a business owner, you should feel good about that. And then if you're an employee and you're giving money to the United Way, you should feel good about that. And it's not how much you give. It's that whatever you can give, if you want to get involved.
Okay, I just want to get to this one call, yeah. Michael. Let's get back to, then we'll get back to what you were going to say. Let's go to Tricia next in Menominee. Hi, Tricia.
Hi. I guess really what I wanted to say is, when I was a child, me and my three younger siblings, as well as my parents, lived in campgrounds in California. And the way it works in that system there is that you can stay in a campground for 30 days, and then you have to leave for 15 days, and then you can go back to another campground. And, you know, I think I saw a lot of, you know, the stress on my parents for just trying to find us food and basic necessities was huge. But the other part of the stress that I don't think it's talked about a lot is that my parents were in constant fight or flight mode. They were constantly worried about what was going to happen to us kids. They had to protect us from, there was a lot of people that lived in the campgrounds that were, you know, drug users and abusers and, you know, constantly trying to protect us from those kind of threats was very, very stressful on my parents. And we saw the effects of that stress. We saw the, you know, the mental health breakdowns because of that. And so it's been very, I think, interesting to me to now, you know, now I'm a successful professional and I'm, you know, I'm trying to, when I go into homes, I definitely am aware that when people have been homeless, that there is that other aspect that I don't think gets talked very much about.
All right. Tricia, thank you so much for sharing your experience. And Michael, Tricia talking about the stress that families are under, and that's something that's dear to your heart, looking out for those kids. What would you say to Tricia and again, people who want to help?
I think she needs to do exactly what she's doing. Volunteer your time. United Way has a website called volunteeryourtime.org. Donate your time, your talent, or your treasure. Tim talked about the variety of different agencies that do this work every single day. So if you could volunteer your time, and volunteer your treasure can go a very long way.
And if I can just add to that, Michael, one of the things that we experienced out there was that 80% of the people that we met had jobs. They just didn't have housing. And I think there's a misconception of what homelessness is in today's age and in the community. We see the people on the streets that are homeless, but what we don't see are the invisible ones, the ones that just spent the night and then went to work.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've been speaking to Michael Johnson, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, and Tim Metcalf, president of Metcalf's Market. They've been talking about how they went undercover as people experiencing homelessness last month and how it changed them and how people can help.